Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This was quite... We're immediately following SmackDown on a Friday night, and this was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could call it that.
That is the voice of Lit Nick calling in from grad school at SCAD. All right, do you want to just mow through this thing by thing, or you want to jump to the...
Listen, as long as we just we're just prolonging the inevitable, so let's just... We'll make it through there eventually. We'll get,
to
the bit.
Okay, we start out with Roman Reigns in the ring, and he is cutting a promo in which he says, and I do like this because one of our friends sent us a thing that he and Corbin have wrestled like 32 times since some date in 2019, and that Corbin had won twice, maybe three times, and that New Japan Jared informed us of this as we were watching the episode, and shout out to New Japan Jared for informing us of this, because I like the fact that he started out this whole thing by saying, I whooped Corbin, I'm gonna whoop him tonight, and then I'm moving on. Kind of letting us know, I know you guys are tired of this, but this is the payoff of all that stuff we've been dealing with. Now, did I like the payoff? Hey, that's up for debate. But you see where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah, I feel like we've done this before. Like, we keep on saying, this is the last time. No, this is truly... So it's like, okay, I think, considering the end, I'd like to think it's the end. But I just don't know at this point. I hope that it is. I want my boy Roman to move on.
Right. So he's got his bloodline with him. The Usos are out there. And, of course, Corbin comes out, blah, blah, blah. And I think Roman really felt like he hit on something when he started calling him Fetish Boy because he likes the dog food.
This is where it begins.
Was that good writing, or was that you're okay with moving on from that?
We have to finish talking about this to get to the main bit.
The loser of this match, the main event of the evening, will eat dog food. Because, of course, weeks ago, Roman got covered in dog food because he's the big dog fighting in his big yard, correct?
Yes. This technically, in writing, is the correct way to bring a story round circle. And you know what? Alright, then it is. Sometimes the rules of storytelling should be broken for the betterment of man.
Alright, so we're going to move on to the first match of the evening. Heavy Machinery, The Revival, Lucha House Party, Miz and Morrison have a matchup. Tucker and Otis get on the offensive fairly early. They get to showcase themselves just a little bit there. Morrison is able to do a lot of what he does really well. The second time this week, I've seen somebody do a springboard off the second rope into a spear, and this was the first time it was a guy the size of John. He's so crazily coordinated. Now, the Revival reportedly have asked for their release. And we know what happens when you ask for your release in this company. You go one of two ways. One way would be they put you over and then they ask you if you want to stay, which was what happened the last time the Revival asked for the release. So today they ate the pin with a skull-crushing finale and a Starship Pain, which was really... I like the combo, and I like that we're getting Morrison and Miz back together. And I'm assuming that the release here will be granted and they'll be able to move on, or at least they'll be off TV for a little while. What'd you think about the match? What'd you think about everything?
I think the match was good. I mean, it got really fast paced towards the end of there, and like everyone's really showing off what they could do, and it's really good.
Correct. Anytime you put a bunch of guys in there that can go together, you get this style of, especially towards the end, you get that frantic finisher, jump out of the ring, all the good stuff that everybody loves when it starts popping off. Now, Otis is dismayed because they've lost, but when he gets to the back, Mandy awaits, and we get the Mandy thanking him for the Royal Rumble assistance, which we talked about in our last episode. And then Tuck says, hey, you need to go ahead and ask her out, which he does. And at first she says, well, I have plans next weekend, but the weekend after, the Friday night after, we're good to go if you would like, in which he's very excited. And then of course Tuck reminds him as they've walked off, because they have a match with Alexa Bliss coming up, Sonya and Mandy do, that the 2 weeks from now is Valentine's Day, and so we're going to have that romance. That, full disclosure, Nick, his sister Haley, who is a producer for the shows, and the Go Home Eat Kid Ray actually have spoke this into existence, because when we first saw Otis and Mandy, they made up that they were married somehow, and it is now true. So you guys, are you glad that you put this out into the universe and it came back to us?
I just want everyone to know that I am clairvoyant. I see all and I know all. This doesn't surprise me. This simply was meant to happen as I predicted.
Correct.
This is the constant in life.
How could you not see Otis and Mandy and think chemistry? You know, in hindsight.
Exactly.
Thank you. Okay, so Daniel the Fiend highlights were next, which, you know, we get that kind of thing. And then they gave us a second highlight package of a Halftime Heat episode where Mankind almost dies and then winds up pinning The Rock with a forklift. Two questions. One, have you ever seen this match before, Nick?
I have not, no.
Have you seen the highlights of it?
I just did.
Okay, well, did you, that's a little thing of, like, the good of the Attitude Era, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, who was it I heard talking about this the other day? I want to say it was King Booker was talking about this the other day, because they showed it on that backstage thing where you had Booker T and Moxley's wife, Renee, and Christian, and they showed the highlights of this, and they asked him if they remembered it and all that. And one thing Christian pointed out, he says, you know, it's really hard to perform in an arena where nobody is, because there's no way to know what's working and what's not working and all that. And he said, you know, they really did a good job considering it was an empty arena. And he said, I've seen people try to duplicate these performances that these two guys gave you so many times, and nobody's been able to do it this good. And he said, that just tells you how great Mick Foley is at turning it up a notch. And of course, The Rock being who The Rock is too. So that's kind of neat. But we'll move on. Bliss and Nikki versus Mandy and Sonya. Now, we've seen these guys wrestle a lot lately, and this was probably the best wrestling match that they've had against each other. But again, you get the Twisted Bliss for the finish. Anything you want to say about that, Nick?
From the announcing, it sounds like this is basically setting up for Nikki and Alexa to try and go after the Kabuki Warriors again.
I'm all for it.
So, that would be nice. I mean, we've entered this issue of what do we exactly do with the Kabuki Warriors, because you want to keep Asuka a monster and you don't want Kairi to exactly take the pin all the time.
Right.
So, how do you get the belts off of them? And I think Fox wants the belt, so I'm going to guess that Nikki pins Kairi, and then that's how that moves forward. But still is the...
I'm not sure that they even have to take the belts off of them to have them on Fox, though, because of the fluidness of it only being one belt. They could come up with another number one contender right behind that if they wanted. You know, there's no reason why Asuka and Kairi can't defend those belts on all three channels.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
All three shows.
There's a reasoning there.
You know, I mean, I'm not ready to lose Kairi and Asuka, and they've run their course on Raw for the time being. So let's get them over to SmackDown and let them do their thing over there. And I think you'd give them a little freshness. I think that after if they were to win or lose, I think that if you would allow Mandy and Sonya to get a couple of wins somehow, they could also do a program with them in some way or another. I do wonder sometimes whatever happened to the Iconics. I think they're on Raw.
You know, that's a question I ask myself all the time.
I miss them.
I find myself wandering the streets asking, where are Billy Kay and Peyton Royce? And are they in the doghouse for some reason?
I don't think so. I think they ran out of things for them to do, and they went in a different direction. It's almost like I just wish they would bump into somebody important in the back, and they go, oh, yeah, that's right. You're supposed to be on the show some. Right?
Yeah, you would hope so.
I mean,
because Monday Night Raw was just a repeat of everything I remember seeing in the Rumble in the last week. It would have been nice to see the Iconics just show up and do something.
And they're so good. I mean, even if they're not great in the ring, they are wonderful for their 12 to 14 minutes they're out there. Regardless of, you know, the match is good, maybe not Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Asuka, Kyrie good, but it's good, and yet everything surrounding it is just wonderful. It's fun. They're incredibly entertaining. Right?
Well,
up next, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Braun Strowman in a title match. Braun has never won a singles title in this company. Sammy helped Shinsuke early on by moving him out of the way because Braun is aggressively winning. Nakamura winds up, after that, getting a couple of his quickness moves in. Sammy interferes again. And then Braun's strength begins to take over. Shinsuke with the quick counters, the Kinshasa to the back of the head, the cover, he kicks out. Sammy pulls the turnbuckle off for the distraction, winds up distracting the ref. Braun takes advantage of it, gets the pin with the running slam after he slams Shinsuke's head into the turnbuckle. He gets his first title belt. Are you happy? I thought the match was pretty good. I thought the interference made sense considering the scenario Shinsuke was in. It was somewhat of a repeat of what we had seen previously. However, I do feel like it's time for Braun to get a run as a champion because the chasing and failing has run its course, right?
Yeah, the thing is, it comes at a price is the problem, because Shinsuke, he's had a long reign, but he has a long reign where he does nothing. Which isn't his fault, obviously, but more the fault of just people don't know what to do with the mid-card belt, I guess.
Right.
And so, I don't know what to think. I do. I had a thought, so I think I know where they might be going with the Intercontinental belt.
Go ahead.
But I think they might be setting up Sheamus to go up against Braun.
Oh,
they're bringing him back.
That makes perfect sense. And it's a
two
good fight.
Giants coming at it.
Yeah, it's a perfect fight. Right, correct. I think you're probably right. And I think you're going to need to find people like that because you want Braun's first title. At some point, Braun needs to be, you know, even though people want to nitpick the Big Show, right, back and forth about the career and he's been faced 100 times and healed 100 times a lot. The first few years of his career weren't like that at all. He wasn't flipping back and forth and heel, face, heel. He was the man. It just, well, in the Attitude Era, of course, the heels and faces were not clearly defined the whole time. But when he shows up as Vince McMahon's sidekick at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, I want to say that's what the name of the pay-per-view was. And he throws Austin, and Austin, the fence breaks, and Austin jumps out to win. But obviously, he's this monster, and he stays that way. And he does wind up, you know, winning titles, and he does wind up having these pretty good feuds here and there. And Braun needs to have a run like that. He deserves that, right?
I think he deserves to have a good run. It's a shame that the comment Shinsuke. Well, I say Shinsuke is expensive. He doesn't need a title run. He's Shinsuke, but. Still, it's that issue of, people wanted him to do something. I think we all kind of wanted, expected, we're going to get some really cool Shinsuke matches. And we got, Survivor Series. And I think that's it. Right. Like, he hasn't talked over and he hasn't done anything.
Right.
So we forked pass it on because we're going to give you the thing.
Right.
But I think it's great for Braun. I just hope Shinsuke is able to do something, but I just don't know if they'll be able to do that for him.
Mm-hmm.
I like this stable that Shinsuke is in. I would like that to continue past this belt.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it will because you had the scene backstage where Sammy was having none of it because Braun had cheated, and then Elias begins to play, and Sammy and Elias have a back and forth, and then Sammy sends Cesaro out to take care of Elias, and Elias fends Cesaro off. And so it looks like somebody in that faction is getting into it with Elias next.
I think so.
Right. That's the direction it feels like we're going there. Now, then we get highlights of Sheamus whooping up on Shorty G, and then they wind up having a match, and it's a competitive match, probably a little more competitive than what we got at the Rumble pre-show. But Sheamus does wind up going over. Shorty G does get to get his offense in. Any comments on that or thoughts?
Well, thought-wise, I think that, again, I think we're just setting up for Braun versus Sheamus. We're
right.
trying to keep on making Sheamus the big monster so that way he has someone to face, and I think that's where we're going.
Okay, well, then let's get to something I think you liked. Bayley. She comes out, she gets a promo, Naomi interrupts. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
All right, as anyone who knows anything about me on this podcast knows, whether that be listening to me or just hearing me talk about it, I've been trying to get behind this Bayley heel turn since it came out. I was excited, and I have been nothing but disappointed since its inception. But this was the first legitimate heel promo I got from Bayley. I got that confidence I wanted. That I said you need to have. She's snarking on the fans, and it was just a solid heel promo that basically went over like, I'm done with Lacey, that's over, I'm now moving on, and then of course we introduce Naomi, and that's a great new competitor for Bayley. She's back from like being gone because of the Uso issues.
How about that LED fishbowl?
Yeah, with the Mysterio head.
Yes.
It's great. And so, you see, it's good. It looks good. It looks like the two can wrestle each other whenever, and it'll be great. And it was good.
And you
was good.
You did really enjoy her promo, correct?
I did. I enjoyed the heel Bayley promo.
And that's what you've been waiting on, correct?
I have been waiting on that. Since she turned heel, this is the speech I wanted after she beat Charlotte.
Right.
Where was this?
Well, now that she's new to this, so we're gonna grow with her, right?
Yeah, we're gonna grow with her. I want her to keep growing in this direction. I like this.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so it looks like we're gonna go into that now. Naomi has Bayley hits her. During Naomi's talk about how she deserves a shot and that Bayley's never beaten her, and they have a little back and forth. Naomi clears Bayley from the ring. Bayley goes away, and then, of course, the Usos come out, and her being, as you mentioned before, the wife of Jimmy Uso, they do a little pose together as they go up. As she goes up the ramp, and they come down the ramp. Roman comes out, and then we get probably the call of the night from Michael Cole. Somebody's going to eat dog food. And if he said it once, he said it 48 times in 12 to 15 minutes. Every time there was a pin attempt, it was, Roman's going to eat dog. Corbin's going to eat dog food. It was amazing how Michael Cole's ability to say things that I'm fairly certain an adult does not particularly want to say. And his ability to do that spot on, like it's the greatest thing that's ever come out of his mouth, is amazing. And it makes me understand a successful war correspondent. I mean, nothing rattles this man. Nothing. And go back and listen to him on Corey Graves' After the Bell podcast. It's you will have a whole new found respect for Michael Cole in his trajectory and his life and who he is. But wow, what a spectacle. And it was a very good match. All these guys are really good at wrestling. Do you know what really got me going in this? Do you want to know?
Well, I got you in it.
Okay, well, obviously Corbin winds up losing and they pour dog food on him. That's not what got me going. Here's what was interesting to me. We have this feud that's been somewhat of a blood feud, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I saw Roman Reigns win a match not involving a spear, not involving a Superman punch, not involving an ooh-ah, right?
This is the first one where he just won with a roll-up.
He won with a roll-up, which it almost feels like they're expanding his, you know what I mean? He dug into a bag of tricks. We've never seen him dig into a bag. Maybe we have, but it's not often. And we showed a little bit. Say what you want about the dog food and all that. You know what I mean? That's when they dumped it on him a month ago. We knew at some point there was a payoff in store, and this is where we went, right? But more importantly to me, as a guy who likes wrestling, I want to see Roman roll a guy up every now and then. I want to see Roman maybe somewhere along the line come up with a submission move, like Cena eventually went to a submission move sometimes, you know? Roman's been doing it long enough. Let's let him stretch it out. And he's been putting on good match after good match, even if it's with the same guy, for a long time. So let's let him be more than he was originally. Go ahead, buddy.
No. I mean, the match itself wasn't bad. The match itself was good.
Yeah.
It was just, and again, you had the great point of Michael Cole is his call out throughout the night of sounding like the most excited man on the planet to talk about how the king is going to eat dog food was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen.
Give him credit.
I will give him credit. He went all in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
As you need to, but
when you've been handed
like,
that. All right. Well, so that was anything else you want to say about the program?
And nothing else happened after the finish. That's it.
Well, wait. Now they did because Edge is back. We did get a pose for those who had flash photography, where Corbin was covered in dog food that looked mysteriously like cold chili. By the way.
You know, I was thinking it was chili-like. It didn't look like the same mushy dog food that got thrown onto Roman's face.
Maybe they cut him some slack and poured chili on him. You know?
I think it was chili. Yeah. I didn't want to say anything. I think that was canned chili.
Well, I hope it was. Just in interest of fairness to the world. But they did do the little flash photography pose with Corbin covered in mess. And so now I think we finish it up because hopefully we're on to the Fiend, right?
I think so.
Okay, man. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm going to move on and talk about NXT here in a little bit. But, man, Litnick, it's always good to have you here with us.
It's good to be here. It's always good to be here.
Can you give me a go-home just for the heck of it?
Well, sure. Go... home.
Mid-episode. Love it. All right. Moving right along to my favorite show of the week, NXT. Finn Balor versus Trent Seven was the first match, and it was quite physical. It was a good match. Finn, I've seen Trent wrestle a lot, a fairly good bit lately, and he's pretty good, but Finn makes guys look so much better than they do with other people. He's an amazing performer. Now we move on. Finn winds up getting your win. Shotzi Blackheart winds up with Deonna Purrazza, and I may be pronouncing that wrong. And there was a lot of back and forth here. Deonna had some really nice counters. Blackheart wound up with the Swanton Splash win. She rode in and out on a mini tank, which was quite nice. She howled like a wolf when it was over, which was cool. She has some form of a sling blade reverse bulldog that she does in the middle of her matches, which I just love. I'm excited to see her as her venture into this division goes. And as we know, if we watch NXT, the women's division is amazing. And so this is just the depth here, because you have two people that are really good performers already, and we're going to get to another two young ladies that are extremely good performers in a little bit. Now, Shotzi goes over. Keith Lee comes out. He's limitless. He's a game changer. He's a moment maker. He has allowed us to bask in his glory, which is his thing. And we have Damian Priest come out and interrupt him. Damian, as these things go, Damian wants a shot at that title belt that he's just won. Dominik Dijakovic comes out, and he would like a shot as well. And it's a neat little back and forth. The one thing to me that was kind of cool was that Keith Lee didn't push the fight between the two guys with him involved.
And allows them to do battle. And they have a great battle between two behemoths. And these guys are incredibly athletic. They put on quite a show. Dijakovic goes over, which probably means that he'll be getting Keith Lee next, or at least following Roddy. And this is where we want to go with this. Dijakovic and Keith Lee got each other to a better place in the company and a better place in people's eyes in their rivalry they had earlier. So when they do it again, it's going to push that envelope even further. I think Keith Lee will really rock it after this little feud, because people are going to really enjoy what they're going to get out of these guys. Now we're going to move on, because Tommaso Ciampa is going to attack the Undisputed Era outside, except for Adam Cole. He's going to drag a table to the ring. He's going to challenge Adam Cole for Goldie, because Goldie needs to come home. Goldie is what he calls the championship belt that he did not lose. He is ready for this contract to be done. Cole sees what's happened. He marches towards Ciampa, and they have a little back and forth. William Regal comes out, says Cole's already told me he doesn't care who he faces. He has a contract already signed by Cole in his hand. Cole rips the contract out of Regal's hand, marches down to the ring, and promptly gets placed through a table that Ciampa had promised he would go through when they were having their little back and forth. Ciampa, in the course of the fisticuffs, gets a little cut on his head. The crowd chants, "Sign it in your blood," and he obliges by rubbing his hand across the blood and then rubbing it across the contract, thus signing the contract in his blood and giving us Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole, baby, at NXT TakeOver Portland. And this is exactly what we all wanted. This is what we're going to get. We have two of the very best giving us, I'm sure, will be a fantastic program followed by a fantastic match, because that's what these guys do. Moving right along, Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai. This has been a blood feud set up by the fact that Dakota turned heel by injuring Tegan Nox, taking her knee brace, and has been showing it off to anybody that would pay attention as a trophy, because she hurt her friend. And we get a good little match. They brawl outside of the ring. Dakota takes some bumps that are wild. She took one shot where she hit the stairwell with her head that was, I thought she'd hurt herself. I know she's got a lot of hair, so just flipping her head back may have been the thing, but the spot looked rough. Dakota goes for more dastardly shenanigans. And Candice LeRae comes out to stop her as the referee is addressing all of that. You have Tegan get the knee brace that has been stolen from her, and Dakota turns right into another rough spot where she gets spanked across the head with it, and then the shiniest wizard in the 1-2-3. And this was probably the best performance I've seen from Tegan so far. I know around the world she seems to have a good reputation. I just had not seen her work as much, and this was a really good performance from her, and Dakota is really coming into her own as a bad guy. So this was good stuff. Again, this women's division, really good. Moving into Chelsea Green with the Robert Stone brand, escorted to the ring. She's this wonderful free agent that we're also happy is here because Robert Stone, and she's a heel, and Robert Stone is a heel as well. They're facing Caden Carter, and Carter has not won much at all, if any, in this division. She's had a murderer's row where she's faced all these top guys. We've been talking about how deep this division is. She continually loses to these guys with these good performances. She gets in there with Chelsea Green, and she has another great performance. It looks like Green's going to get things straight, and yet the tables get turned. Carter gets the roll-up, and she gets the win, and we have something that we very seldom see when you promote a new free agent. Chelsea Green loses right out of the bat, and that's a cool way to tell a story, and again, look how deep we've made this women's division. Now we're going to move on to the Broserweights versus the Grizzly Young Veterans in the Dusty Classic. This was a fantastic match. Dunn and Riddle have taken to being a tag team together. They've taken the time to get some of these combo moves that look really good. They're both really great performers on their own. This was just really great storytelling. James Drake and Zach Gibson, again, two really good performers on that NXT UK brand. I recommend checking that out if you get a chance. These Dusty Classics have done a really good job of giving us great, great matches week in and week out. And once again, they didn't fail. Dunn and Riddle wind up going over and thus ending another fantastic episode of NXT. Thank you very much for hanging in there with us and listening to this episode. Thank you, Nick, for calling in. SmackDown was a lot. NXT was wonderful as always. This has been a Go Home Heat production, a wrestling podcast. Copyright 2020. Go home.